91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. Next month, the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati, for the 39th time, will recognize its annual Career Women of Achievement. We're going to talk about and to some of these women. Joining me are YWCA Greater Cincinnati President and CEO Barbara Perez, and two of this year's Career Women of Achievement, its commonly jazz founder and the Perfect Brew owner, Carolyn Wallace, and Fifth Third Private Bank Senior Vice President and Managing Director, Kimberly Hallbauer. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And I apologize if I butchered names there with a name like Zalesnik. I should never do that, but it happens. Thank you all for being here today. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Barbara, I'm going to have to start with you and have you explain what this program is all about, how you choose, what qualities you're looking for.
Okay.
Tell us more.
Thank you. So this event, we are in our 39th year of the Career Women of Achievement Luncheon. It has grown from just a couple hundred people the first year. This year, we will have over 2,300 people at Duke Convention Center. And we are truly honoring career women. So this award is about women who lift as they climb, who have reached a part of their career where it is truly a major achievement in their life. I know Kim's story is that she started at the bank as like a teller or a very entry level, and now she's over the whole wealth management program for the bank, which is really pretty impressive. We get over 75 nominations each year for the Career Women Awards. We have a group of women who are past career women honorees who review the nominations and whittle down that pool to a smaller number. And then we have judges that are also past career women and some outside objective observers who come in. The staff have nothing to do with the selection process. We're in the room, we observe, but it is truly a committee-driven. And I have to tell you, these are all 75 could be worthy of this award. It's amazing how many strong, successful women we have in Greater Cincinnati. So we're blessed with that. So that's what we're about. We're about recognizing their accomplishments at this event.
We're going to talk to a couple of the honorees this year. Carolyn, I want to start with you and have you explain a little bit. You started out, it was interesting to read, at Swift & Commons even. Tell us what you did there and how your career has enhanced over the years.
Thank you. I did. I started out at Swift & Commons 35 years ago, and we were a neighborhood shopping center, but it was managed by one of the country's largest developers of shopping centers. So we were held to the gun to do exactly what the other malls were doing. But we felt the need to get involved with the community because our clients were walking. They came from the neighborhood. They came from surrounding it. So we got involved at Swift & Commons with the schools.
And what was your role with Swift & Commons?
I was the general manager. And I guess I should say one of the things about being a general manager for the DeBartlows, I found out after going to major conventions and all that there were very few women of color there. And I was the only African-American general manager for the DeBartlow Corporation during their tenure.
So did you feel like you were breaking a lot of ground at that point, or were you just doing your job?
I felt like I was breaking a lot of ground. I remember going to schools and walking into classrooms and telling kids, because they didn't know what a general manager may have been as a job. And I would say, this is what a general manager looks like for a shopping center. And I could see the girls' faces brightening up because that wasn't something
that they saw.
Thanks. And Barbara, I'm sorry, not Barbara, Kimberly, tell me a little bit about what you do and how your career evolved.
Currently I head wealth management for Fifth Third Bank in the Cincinnati market. That for us represents about $12 billion in overall assets and about 3,000 clients and 150 employees. So certainly exciting, but I don't know that that's what I planned for. I Started as a teller when I was 18 years old, right out of high school. And I'd love to say there was some strategic thought process into it, but the reality was that I needed a job, and Fifth Third Bank was kind enough to give me an opportunity. So the journey continued from there. I spent time in our retail bank, our commercial bank, and in our wealth division. But it's certainly been an exciting opportunity and one of change along the way with many people and especially many women that have been impactful and helped me on my journey. So
now, Carolyn, you said it's been 35 years for you, mm-hmm. a rise of 35 years. Kimberly, tell us, how long has that been for you from teller to where you are now?
Oh, we're not supposed to talk about our age. Are
not
we?
Your age. I'm just trying to look at the times. Is it the same?
It's about the same. I would have started in the bank in 1987. So
tell us in general about how you feel women were treated then versus how women are treated now?
Well, salaries were probably a lot different. I know that my counterparts made more than we did.
Just because you were a woman?
Just because I'm sure we were women. Of course, that wasn't said. I think we did more. I was committed. I have a picture of my daughter who slept underneath my desk because of the commitment. When she would get off from school, she would come to work and do her homework and sleep under the desk while mommy was running the shopping center.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that when I think back, I think it's hard a little bit to compare just because the roles were so very different. Certainly, I evolved from an area as a teller where it was primarily women. So it was almost all women with typically a male leader of a financial center at the time, and then morphed over time going into an area that was primarily all men. And so I think learning to adapt to your environment and understanding how I would say I've always felt like I've been treated respectfully for the most part by men and women on the journey. That doesn't mean there's not differences. I do think the thing that I see today that seems so very different to me with the younger generation is there's a different feeling of how the young generation, men and women, interact and work together. I think that most men in older generation 30 years ago probably didn't have an experience of working for a woman. And I think when I look at the younger generation, I just don't see that happening the same way. It seems like they really are fine. They don't have issues working for each other or with each other. So I think we've made a lot of progress.
That seemed to be the same thing for me, because as a manager of a shopping center, it wasn't simply just about the marketing or promotions, but it was taking care of 34 acres of property, and there was construction involvement and all. And I sometimes saw that when people came, they were more talking to the facility manager than the general manager. So,
because that was a man?
Yes.
Do you find that young women today perhaps don't recognize how far you all have come, and perhaps take it for granted that they will be, Kimberly, as you talked about, treated the same and men would work for them and not even think twice about it, as opposed to perhaps when you were doing that?
I think there's an awareness. I definitely think there's an awareness, and I still think that overall many young women still struggle with the idea of how do you balance career versus family. And while I think the evolution has occurred and many men take on a significant amount of responsibility in the home, it appears that women still feel this responsibility and this feeling of I need to figure that out, and can I balance and make things work. I think my statement is always to people is that it's up to you. You know, life is about choice, and we do have to make tough choices. And I'm never going to be sorry about the fact that I didn't do my kids, you know, laundry, and that I don't clean my house and I don't cut my grass. So it's okay to outsource. It's just a matter
right.
of what you
That's
want
right.
to outsource. And everybody, you know, the guidance that I like to give young women is that if you come to work and you have a young family, and you're spending your whole day agonizing on why you're not at home, then you should probably be home. And if you're at home and you're agonizing about, I don't feel fulfilled and I want to be somewhere else, then you can make it work. But it's really a personal choice, and we shouldn't judge people either way, because I do think it's important to be supportive but respectful of the choices that women are making.
And you would agree?
Oh, totally. I also feel that there's a lot of change now. So women who go back, fathers are taking off mm-hmm. when there's, you know, babies
there's
are born.
There's paternity leave yeah. now, which didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who and, wants, well, I was going to say, I kept thinking, who wants the man around the house as soon as you have a baby? I keep laughing. My daughter just had a baby and her husband took paternity leave. And I kept thinking to myself, how's that going to work? Because I couldn't imagine if he'd been home with me for a month. I need to move him on.
Not all women would say that, though.
No, absolutely not. And it's worked out really well for them. So
individual choice.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Respect choice.
Barbara, it's been 39 years, as you said, since you've had the first honorees in this category. Tell us how the choices have changed maybe over the years. Do you have more to choose from now than you did then?
You know, I can't. I've only been with the YWCA for the last 2.5 years, so I can't really speak to those early years. I know that for the last 2.5 years, we have easily brought in over 75 nominations. And that's not with a whole lot of hard work either. I think this has become a very prestigious award. I just was watching the videos of our honorees this morning, and I think people recognize that this honor is important, and we are really trying to show the community the role models, the amazing women that we have who are role models in not only how they do their job, but how they're living their lives.
The Me Too movement has come out obviously recently, and there's been a lot of talk about the way women are treated or not treated well in the workplace. Have you ever found that has been an issue for you, that you were truly treated differently in that regard as well, that you felt like you needed to stand up or saw it with other women?
I can say that didn't happen with me or that I saw at the, but I'm sure things like that go on in the workforce, but personally, no.
Yeah, I would say the same. I mean, I feel like there could be things that have happened over the journey. I did not have a personal experience with something that would be a Me Too related movement. I think that there are always people, and I think it's hard to balance. I think there are certainly along the way, there are people that I might say are bullies, but I think that's equal for men and women. I don't know that that's specific for my experience for men.
What I would say, though, because the YWCA does so much work in the domestic violence area and intimate partner violence, that we know that 1 in 3 women will experience domestic violence or intimate partner violence in their lifetime, which is staggering and awful. And we're doing that work, preventing that and serving those survivors every day.
What about for men? Has the Me Too movement changed the way that they interact at all? Are there concerns about meeting alone in an office with someone? Or do you notice that people are more on guard? And do you notice any changes in those regards?
Well, not going with the catering business that I'm in, so I'm sort of interrelating with people in a different way than when I managed the shopping center. But I'm sure there are times I think people are really kind of scared to say something to someone as far as like complimenting and all. You're not sure just where those boundaries are. And so I think we're learning as this comes about how we interact with each other.
Kimberly?
I think a piece of advice, and I've given this to many young women along the journey, is that, you know, don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to be uncomfortable. And I would say the same thing to a man, right? I mean, it's just better for everybody if you don't put yourself in a situation where it's uncomfortable, awkward. You know, if you have any, you know, invite somebody to go with you. Just, you know, I think there are things that we can proactively do from both a female and a male perspective to ensure that you can still have good, positive interaction and not put yourself ever in a situation where you feel uncomfortable. I think the other important thing is, and this is the hardest part, is that from an awareness perspective, people need to understand each other's, your lens isn't the same as someone else. So while I might compliment someone on the fact that they have on a beautiful jacket or a beautiful dress, that might be interpreted differently and there's right. no harm meant, but sometimes you're offensive without intent. And I think that's such a critical piece that we forget about is just be cautious and careful of how you say and what's, and you know, how it's being interpreted.
Did either of you have mentors, people that you've helped you along the way?
Well, my mom was really a great one because she worked in the household. It wasn't outside of the household, but we considered that a really important job because hers was taking care of us, and she was involved in the school. And in fact, my dad was a PTA president at one time, so education was really important. But I've had women, lots of really strong women, role models who I could look up to, who gave guidance and would pull you aside when they thought that you needed to know something. Yeah.
I would say I've had so many people on my journey that have been helpful, and I look at almost every relationship I enter into as they're mentoring me in some way, form, or fashion. And that's both people above me, people next to me, and people that are the younger generation that are just emerging. I feel like every opportunity that I have to learn is so critical. And sometimes when I'm mentoring someone, it's from those mentees that I'm learning more and indirectly being mentored. And I'm very respectful of so many people that have been impactful on the journey.
How do you mentor? What do you tell people that you're trying to help on their career paths?
Great question. I think for me, when I think about mentoring, I think about trying to understand a little bit. It starts with listening. It starts with listening and understanding what are they really looking for out of a relationship. And there are times where, you know, sometimes in the along the path, there have been some people that we've had forced mentorships. I find that doesn't typically work as well when it's, you know, in our country. Not, again, being respectful of other countries' cultures, arranged marriages didn't work out well. And so people have freedom of choice. And I think about that in mentorships, that for us, when it's somewhere people are seeking each other out and find a mutually beneficial way to connect, that is helpful because then there's some engagement on both sides. I do think that the biggest thing is trying to listen, understand, and then also set expectations around what that relationship looks like because I do think you need to have some boundaries in the mentorship to ensure that you're not getting kind of swirled up in all of a sudden somebody's disciplinary problem, if that tends to be a case, or a personal issue that isn't really tied to what the ultimate goal is of mentoring.
No, I've not ever heard that before. What would the boundaries be? How would you define them?
So I think that when I think about the boundaries, it's, again, listening to what they're looking for and setting the expectation that I am not I'm not the HR or the ER department. I'm not here to I can't really analyze or weigh in. I can provide guidance and advice. I can listen. But more importantly, I try to work really hard to ensure that people are kind of working through themselves to understand how do they pull out of themselves, how they probably have their own answers, and how can I help them figure out what that is. So perfect example would be I met with a woman this week who is evaluating career choices. So she wants to talk about what the career choices are, and I don't know what her career choices could be because I don't know what she loves. I don't know what calls her. I don't know what her passion is. So again, if the thought process is Kim's going to help me get the next job, that's probably not the right right answer. So
now, Carolyn, with your catering business and the jazz festival that you work on, what do you feel in terms of mentoring? Are you working with folks as well in those regards?
Well, on the jazz scene, we are promoting Cincinnati, and we think it's so important with the music that we're bringing in. We used to bring in national talent and some Grammy Award winning acts. But we started looking around and seeing what was here in the city and started promoting. But we started promoting women. We brought in, on a national basis, we brought in all female jazz groups. And so people got to see how important females were playing in that. So we do try to promote those things.
And thank you for doing that, because I think it's made such a difference in the city. So thank you for starting that so many years ago and sticking with it.
And I have to turn around and say thank you, because Fifth Third Bank has been my presenting sponsor for over 28 years. So
that's great. Is like a mutual love fund.
Hey, yeah, there's a great relationship there. Well, thank you all for being here. Really, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been talking about and to the YWCA of Greater Cincinnati's Career Women of Achievement. My guest today were YWCA Greater Cincinnati President and CEO Barbara Perez and two of this year's Career Women of Achievement. It's Commonly Jazz founder and the Perfect Brew owner Carolyn Wallace and Fifth Third Private Bank Senior Vice President and Managing Director Kimberly Hallbauer. I'm sorry, I keep pausing on that. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Today's technical director was Josh Elstro. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley. Here and Now is next.